Hear the words of our God as he wrote through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. And our one prayer tonight, Lord, is that we would see your beauty. Lord, that we would see all of who you are. And Lord, just as Megan just sang and we joined together in worship to sing, that we would rest in who you are. Lord, we're coming from frantic lives. We're coming from frantic places. And Lord, we're coming from chaotic worlds. And Lord, we come here in this place, and our prayer tonight is that we would obey your command, that we, when we are tired and weary, that we would come to you and rest in you. And so, Jesus, tonight, we pray that we would hear from you, not from me, that we would hear from you, and that we would be different forever because of it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Any of y'all ever been caught trespassing? Now, I know it's a hard question to ask with the sheriff sitting right over here, okay? But if you have been caught trespassing, I have, 13 years ago. I was 17 years old, which is ridiculous that I was 17 13 years ago. Do you understand that I'm reaching a milestone? Pray for me. My wife does not pray for me. She ridicules me and makes fun of me that I'm turning 30 this year. But 13 years ago, I was going out with a friend who happened to be female. And, you know, when you watch TV, you always see people go and park their cars over these lookouts where you can see the lights of the city. You know, and they do things like, you know, play tic-tac-toe and, you know, have conversations, you know, read their Bible together, all those kind of things. And so I thought that it would be neat to go and do that and with this particular young lady. And so I knew the perfect spot. And this perfect spot was actually a farm out off Blue Level Road, and that's all the detail you're getting in case you own it. But off Blue Level Road, there was this farm where you could go, and I knew, and I don't really remember how I knew this, but I knew I could get on this farmland, and he had plenty of acres, plenty of room, and I could look, and you could see the city sprawling out before you, and at nighttime, the lights is just beautiful and romantic, not that, yeah, whatever. So we're sitting there, and little, we were behaving ourselves, we're just kind of talking, we really were, you can tell me I'm lying, I'm not lying, I promise you, we're just kind of talking and looking out over the city, and it's beautiful, and all of a sudden I hear the rumble of an engine come up behind me, and I'm like, oh no. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's two headlights that are going that way. They're not coming up right behind me, they're going that way. So I'm like, be quiet, as if whispering was going to do any good. I was like, be quiet, don't move. We're in a car on this person's property. Don't move. So the car keeps going, and I'm like, man, this is great. Remember, I was 17, so that also means I was stupid. So the car kept on going, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. They didn't see us, or if they did, they don't care. So let's just sit here and continue our conversation and, you know, looking out over the city lights. And, well, we did. We sat there for about 5 more minutes, and I would look occasionally to see, you know, the car had parked, whoever was in it, I guess had gone inside or whatever. Well, about 5 minutes passed, and all of a sudden, I hear what I know to be the sound of a 12-gauge shotgun being fired. That is the quickest I have ever started my car, put it in gear, backed up, and got out of any place in my life. Yeah. I got caught. I wasn't supposed to be there. I don't think he was shooting at me. I think he didn't hit anything. The praise of the Lord. But I wasn't supposed to be there. Tonight we're going to talk about what it means to trespass. Then, back in Jesus' day, and now in our day. And I'm not talking about the church word of trespass. I'm not talking about trespass as sin. I'm talking about trespass of be somewhere you ain't supposed to be. All right? This text tonight talks about a situation where there were people who were going into places they were not supposed to be based on what society said. Any of y'all ever lived in a world where you as a human being were not allowed to go somewhere because society had rules about that? Yeah. If you lived during the 60s, you realize and before then that it was a different world. With different bathrooms, different places where you could sit on buses, different water fountains. It was a different world. And based on who you were, you could only go in certain places. Well, thank God we're not living that way anymore. We don't have separate water fountains, separate bathrooms, and we sit wherever we want to on the bus, all right? And it took some very brave people to stand up and say, this is not right, in order to effect that change. But when we go back to Jesus' time, there was also this tension. It was a racial and ethnic tension back in this day. You see, they recognized two different races. They recognized Jews, the people God chose. These were the people of God. They were not only a religion, they were also an ethnicity. Okay? And so you were born into being a part of the people of God. Your birth had a lot to do with whether or not you would worship the true and living God. The other ethnic group included all other races, all other cultures, and it was the Gentiles. So, is anybody in here naturally born ethnic Jew? Anybody? Yeah? Man, that's awesome, Robert. Anybody else? Well, all of us, except for Robert, are Gentiles. Okay? Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you're from, what your culture is, we're all Gentiles. And because we're Gentiles, life was a little bit different for us when it came to worshiping the true and living God. You see, in Jerusalem, they had the temple. You heard of the temple? The temple was the house of God. Now, I know now in the Bible Belt, South Central Kentucky, we call any church building the house of God. But you got to say, the temple was literally where God lived. This is where God was to be. And if you wanted to get to God, no matter where you're coming from, you got to go to the temple. Well, the temple was set up in concentric rings, concentric squares. That means here's a square and around that's 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 a square. Well, outside of the sanctuary itself, there was a square called the court of the priests. And to go in this area, you had to be a priest of the order of Levi. If you weren't a Levite priest, you could not go in this court. Outside of that court was another court called the Court of Israel. And if you were a man and you were a Jew, you could go in this court. Outside that court was called the Court of the Women. And if you were a woman and you were a Jew, you could go into this court, but you couldn't go any further. Well, all three of these courts are on level ground, all right? Then you went down 5 steps, and there was a 5-foot wall that went all the way around the whole thing. And on that wall, it said things like this: if you're not supposed to pass this wall, and you do, you have no one to blame but yourself when you die. It was that serious. If you weren't a Levite priest, if you weren't a male Jew or a female Jew, you were not to pass this wall, and they would kill you if you did. You go down 5 steps, 5-foot wall, signs on it, no trespassing. If you're not supposed to be up here and you come up here, you will die. Then you go down 14 more steps and you have a final court. And it's called the Court of the Gentiles. This is where you and I could go. This is where you and I could go. Totally on a different plane than where the Jewish people could go, and down here. Last week when Pastor Jamie preached, he preached Ephesians chapter 2 beginning with verse 11. And he started by saying, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. Okay, uncircumcised was a pejorative term. Uncircumcised was a name. It wasn't a description. It was a name. It was a slur. You remember when King David, before he was a king, he went out to fight Goliath? And do you remember what he said to all the people of Israel when he heard Goliath talking smack? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would dare taunt the army of the living God? Well, by saying uncircumcised, he was putting him down. All right. And so when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus that you were the ones they called uncircumcised, he's using a slur. not just a description. There were people among the Gentiles who wanted to worship the true and living God. And they would come to the temple and they would go to the court of the Gentiles. That's as far as they could go, because they were unwilling to become fully Jewish. They were unwilling as adults to be circumcised. I get it, all right? Second thing, they were unwilling as adults to follow all the Jewish laws and rituals. And so there was a separation. There was a distinction. The Jews felt like the Gentiles were trash. They felt like they were at a higher place, at a higher plane. They were the chosen people of God. They were the ones that God said, you are the apple of my eye. The Jews felt like they were a real special and privileged people. And those Gentile dogs need to stay out. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, for he, Jesus, is our peace. Jesus is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. What's he saying? He's saying that Jesus is our peace, but not the way you think he is. All right. Most of the time we read in the Bible that Jesus is our peace or that Jesus gives us peace, we think of what we feel at Christmas time, right? Or what we feel when everything's going well. What we feel when nobody's sick. What we feel when, you know, the boss isn't breathing down our back. What we feel when we're not laid off. What we feel when we're financially comfortable. This is the peace, right? And so many preachers hawk this as a good provided by Jesus. That if you'll just give your heart to Jesus, he'll shower his peace on you. And because he showers his peace on you, you will keep your job. You'll never get sick. You'll prosper financially and everything will go well. They're lying. This peace that God is talking about in this passage has nothing to do with the way you feel. Has nothing to do with the way you feel. This is a term that means the absence of war. It's not that I feel all calm. It's that Jesus has put me in a state of being at peace with God and with my fellow man. That's what he's talking about here. It's not that everybody just feels good. In fact, in the next letter over, Paul's going to say that he prays that God will give the Philippians a peace that passes understanding. Now, in that case, he is talking about how you feel. But what he's saying is, I pray that how you feel is so much better than what's going on in your life. Again, not promising everything's going to be great, you're always going to be rich, healthy, and wealthy, and wise. Saying that even in the midst of whatever circumstances you're facing, that you would have a peace that rises above those circumstances. You see what I'm saying? But right here, he's saying that Jesus is the one. He has torn down the dividing wall of hostility. Paul is talking about that 5-foot wall that's set at the top of 14 steps and at the bottom of 5 steps that had signs on it that said no trespassing. He is saying that now they are all, Jews and Gentiles alike, on evil playing ground. He's saying we're all at the same place, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that there are no more people who are more special and there are no more people who are less special at the foot of the cross, that Jesus Christ, by giving his life to die on the cross, has made us all equal. And that's why the Bible says that in Christ, there is no longer male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. It's not that, you know, we don't differentiate between men and women. I mean, if you're married, you know there's a big difference between men and women. Trying to talk to my wife tells me that there is a big difference. And see, I'm saying she's smarter, all right? Back off, all right? There's a big difference. So it doesn't mean that there's not a difference there, but it means that this, I'm not any better than her, and she's not any better than me. Racially, as human beings, because I am a Caucasian person who came from England and got some American Indian and all, you know, all, whatever I am. I'm a mutt is what I am. We're all mutts in here, pretty much. But because my skin gets pale, doesn't mean I'm any better than anybody else whose skin is either paler or darker. It does not matter. It does not matter. And so all these dividing walls that we build in our lives in Christ don't matter anymore. We're all the same at the foot of that cross. Now listen, our own denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, many, many years ago had to come out and make a public apology. And you know what we had to apologize for? And this was way before I was born, way before y'all were born too. This was a long time ago. But the reason we have a Southern Baptist Convention is because there was a split in this country between the North and the South. Remember what it was over? Well, guess what the Southern Baptists believed? They believed slavery was fine. It talks about it in the Bible. It's okay. Some of them went so far to believe that if you were African American, you were similar to a dog. You didn't have a soul. Yeah. Now, we have since come and said, we were wrong. That is abomination, heresy, and anything else you want to throw at it. That is wrong. But listen, our country's not that old, and not that long ago, there were people who stood under the banner of the cross, took the name of Jesus Christ, and said that if your skin was a different color, you were not the same species as the rest of us. See, we can get off real quick. We can get real far off real quick if we're not careful. No, what Jesus is saying is this. It does not matter if you are black, white, red, green, blue, purple, pink, or any other shade. The ground is level at the cross. You are a human being created by God, intimately woven together by God. Intimately knit together by God, created on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. That you are the precious creation of God. And ain't no one of us better than anybody else. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. We've all earned it. And what God is saying through the Apostle Paul, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, writing to the church at Ephesus, is this. Jesus has torn down that wall. Jesus has torn down that wall. Look what he says. He is our peace. He has made the two one, Jew and Gentile one. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. The Bible says he came and he preached peace to you who were far away from God. That would be the Gentiles. And to you who were near. That would be the Jews. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. There's two reconciliations going on here. I want to talk about these and then we're done. Two reconciliations going on here. Number one, person to person. In Jesus Christ. Person to person in Jesus Christ. Listen. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We are all in Christ. If we have received Jesus Christ, we belong to him. Right? Now, I have unity with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all things in common. We may do things a little differently, but we have all things in common. It is a shame. It is a shame that the number one most segregated hour of any week is Sunday at 11 a.m. That's the truth. It's a sociological study they did. The number one most segregated hour of any week is Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Why? Because we're still holding on to some arbitrary thing that we used to believe was true, that we're different, we keep it different. No, we are the same. We are human beings created in the image of God, sinners who deserve hell. And if we come to Christ, we are made new in him. So we have unity. We all have unity. I have unity with my brothers and sisters in Korea. Largest church in the world. Largest Christian church in the world. You know where it is? Seoul, South Korea. Over 1 million people in that church. And y'all thought Hillview was big. Over 1 million people. Can you imagine parking? Lord have mercy. And I bet they're a lot holier than we are. We see birds flying around our parking lot occasionally. I bet they don't see birds flying around their parking lot. She just got it. million people, soul South Korea. You know what? Those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's churches in China. Now, albeit those churches in China have to be underground. They're illegal. Churches in Japan, churches in Africa, churches in Asia, churches in South America, churches all over this globe. You know what? If they are following the Lord Jesus Christ, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and ain't none of them better than us, and ain't none of them worse than us. We are all together in Christ. There is one distinction, that if you have not come to Christ, if you have not given your life to Christ, we don't have unity. Now, it doesn't mean I'm better than you. What that means is there is a disconnect there. There is a disconnect there. And my job as a Christian, hear me, please, Christian. My job as a Christian is to love you more than I love myself. My job as a Christian is to love you more than I love myself so that you might see the Jesus that's in me and then come to Christ. And then we have unity. You see what I'm saying? All these arbitrary lines that we draw in the sand, they don't matter. And God hates them. God hates them. Can you imagine being the God who created all races, looking down from heaven upon racism? What would you think? I mean, God hates these lines that we draw. That we are all one in Christ. You say, who's going to be in heaven? Everybody who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be in heaven. Black, white, brown, tan, whatever. Everybody. All right? Second kind of reconciliation that's going on here. That's us with God. See, the reason there was a temple was because we were separated from God. The reason there was a temple is because God is holy and we are not. The reason there was a temple where people had to go to meet with God was because God had to stay separated from the people. Why? God is perfect and holy and righteous and without sin. We are nasty and filthy and dirty and sinful. The two can't come together. And so in the very center of that temple was an area where only one man could go one time each year. And that was called the Holy of Holies. And this was where the Ark of the Covenant sat, that contained several different items. But this was where the presence of God would come down and rest upon the top of that ark, top of that crate. Okay? One man could go in here one time a year, the high priest, one time a year on Yom Kippur. Only time he could go in there. To separate this area from everybody else, there was a 6-inch thick curtain. That thick. A 6-inch thick curtain that separated, that kept God's holiness intact and kept our nastiness away from Him. When Matthew, the Bible says that at the cross, when Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross, that at the moment He died, when He said, it is finished, and He gave up the ghost, that curtain that kept us away from God and God away from us, that curtain ripped in two and came apart. And what happened at the cross is that Jesus opened up the way for us to be with God. That there was no longer this dividing wall of hostility between us and God. He destroyed that. He opened the way. And that way is through Him. And so God has brought the two together, hasn't He? We who like to fight our stupid little petty battles, I'm better than you and I'm better than you, He said, enough of that. You're all the same. You're all sinners headed to hell. You have no hope. You're not any better off because you're white. You're not any better off because you're black. You're not any better off because you're Asian. You're not any better off because whatever you are. He said, don't matter. You come to the cross and it is level ground. Second thing, He said this. You come to the cross because when you come to the cross, Jesus comes to you. The dividing wall of hostility has been taken away. And in Jesus Christ, we stand united with God forevermore and united as brothers and sisters forevermore. That's the gospel, guys. And I know culturally that's hard to hear. There's some of y'all in here, you wouldn't admit it in here. That's all right. There's some of y'all in here, you grew up in Buddy, that's hard to hear. You don't mix races. You don't do all that. No. Culture doesn't matter standing up against the Word of God. The Word of God reigns supreme. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight, if you have never received Christ, we don't have unity yet, but we want you to have unity. We want you to be our brother and sister in Christ. But even more than that, we want you to be connected to the God who made you. We want you to be connected to the God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. The God who loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to go to that cross, to die for you, to pay the price for your sin. And Jesus says this, He died on the cross, He rose from the grave on the third day, He ascended into heaven, and He's coming back someday. But He said this, that if you will come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I confess I've sinned. You said don't steal and I've stolen. You said don't trespass and I've trespassed. You said don't commit adultery and I've had sex outside of marriage. I've lusted. Lord, you said don't murder. I've never killed anybody, but you said that murder was equal with hate and I've hated. Jesus, I've sinned and I deserve hell. But Jesus, I believe you died for me to pay the price for my sin, to cover over my iniquity. And so Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I want to follow you. Tonight, that may be you. And if you need to receive Christ, please, please, I am begging you, do not leave this place without Jesus Christ in your life. There is no other way to heaven. If, God forbid, you die tonight outside of Christ, you will go to hell for eternity. And you don't want to. And we don't want you to. Second thing, some of you in here have received Christ and you've yet to come out and publicly say, you know what? Jesus has saved me. You know the way you do that? Right up there in that water. Right up there in that water. And so tonight, if you need to be baptized, I'm going to plead with you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To profess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ boldly because Jesus has saved you. And thirdly, tonight, maybe you need to come to the altar and just unload some things. Maybe you need to come to this altar and unload some pride. Maybe you need to come to this altar and unload some arrogance. Maybe you need to come to this altar and realize that you're not as good as you think you are. And maybe you need to come to this altar and realize you're not as bad as you think you are. That your only hope is in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, forgive me for making it all about me when it's not. It's about you. And so we're going to have an altar. I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to receive Christ, come. If you need to be baptized, come. If you just need to pray, come. If you need to be healed, come. You say, y'all do healing here? No, Jesus does healing here. We just pray. Come to this altar. Let's stand together. Father, we love you, and we come now humbly before you, confessing that there's a whole lot of ugliness inside of us. And because there's ugliness inside of us, we've created some ugly systems, and we've created some ugly institutions, and we've created some ugly things in this world, Lord, that are not of you. And so, Lord, I pray that at this altar tonight, every one of us would lay down those things in us, those sinful attitudes, those sinful and prideful attitudes, that we would lay them down before you, Lord, and confess that you, Jesus, are the only hope that we have. And Lord, I pray that if there is any in this room tonight, any one person, two people, 20 people in this room tonight who've never received you, that tonight they would come to this altar and give their lives to you. Lord, that if anybody in this room has never been baptized, that they would come and decide tonight to stand boldly in the name of Jesus Christ and do simply what you ask them to do. And so, Lord, we pray for this altar that you would do whatever you want, because you're God and we're not. And we submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. This altar is open. Please come.